Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, August 12th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. High atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, a sunshiny, beautiful August afternoon here in the capital city, and we welcome back Mr. Zommers, who had a couple of well-deserved days off on the fishing boat. Mr. Zommers, we appreciate a Lukester filling in for you, but always great to have you back. How you been?
Good to be back, and I'm good. It was some nice time off, spent with my dad and one of my sisters, and caught a bunch of fish, although some days were a little rainy, like drizzly and cold and windy, but, you know, just wear a sweatshirt. It's fine.
Yeah.
Some fish, got to eat some fish. I was happy.
Good for you. We will check in, Mr. Zommers, maybe hear a couple of fishing stories a little bit later on in the show today. A busy, busy show. Coming up at just after the 12:30 break, our friend and ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn, will join us live from Milwaukee. Of course, he is a 2-time Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairperson, also an attorney and an author. His newest novel right here, My Hot Little Hands, Hunting Bernie Weber. You can buy it wherever books are sold. Matt is going to be in, as he always does, to explain things to the illegal. I'm not sure if that's how you put it, but I'm not a legal scholar. And so I have trouble sometimes understanding the legalness of everything. Matt is going to be here and explain, as we go to the polls, Wisconsin voters, don't forget tomorrow is primary election day across the state, and everyone, regardless of where you live, there is something on the ballot. There are 2 constitutional amendments that Wisconsinites will vote on. Matt Flynn will be able to break this all down and tell you why this just simply does not make sense to vote yes, that if you're so inclined, but he'll explain why probably the best way to do this is to vote no on these 2 constitutional amendments. Matt will go through it with us and also talk a little politics, what's happening on the national scene and also here on the state of Wisconsin scene as well. Always a pleasure to have Matt Flynn with us and taking your calls as well just after the 12:30 break. Had a nice weekend myself, spent a little time up in Wisconsin Dells. Sister and brother-in-law were down there with their camper, and so I had a little time at Christmas Mountain. That was fantastic.
I've never been.
It was very nice. So spent an afternoon or so there with them, had a couple of s'mores, a hot dog. It was absolutely fantastic. Hope your day or weekend, rather, was a good one as well. As we said, a busy weekend politically, and we've kept track of it for you throughout the weekend and breaking it all down so you don't have to. So you, the Wisconsin and American public, can go about your daily lives, your weekends, enjoy cotton candy, the drive the ride or ride the drive, whatever it is in Madison, what's going on this weekend, lots of festivals in the Milwaukee area. This is why we're here, so you can enjoy your festivals, and we here at the Todd Albaugh Show keep track of what's going on and then bring you the highlights or lowlights, as they turn out to be, over the weekend. And making headlines this morning, and here's the thing. If Joe Biden, when he was still the assumed, presumed Democratic nominee, if Joe Biden had sent out a tweet or gotten on a podium and said, you know, there were tens or, you know, thousands of people, so-called, at an event, that's all fake. Nothing to it. You know, if he looked in the camera as he does, I can't do a good Biden impersonation, but if he says, look, I give you my word as a Biden. My word as a Biden. That didn't happen. It's made up. Republicans, MAGA folks would have lost their mind.
Oh, yeah.
And said, 25th Amendment, get Biden out of there. He's lost it. He's cognitively disabled. And if Biden had done that, I might agree. But Biden did not do that. Guess who did? The Republican nominee, Donald Trump. So here's the deal. Vice President Kamala Harris has been barnstorming with her Democratic vice presidential presumptive nominee Tim Walz, governor of Michigan, pardon me, Minnesota, get my M's confused there, going all over the country. Huge crowd in Philadelphia. Then came to Wisconsin. We were there in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, in the middle of a field. 12,000 plus showed up. Then went to Detroit, where somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people showed up. Then went to Arizona, Glendale, Arizona, where approximately 20,000 more people showed up and others had to be sent home. They couldn't do an overflow crowd outside because it was 106 degrees. And still people showed up in Arizona. Then they went to Nevada, another huge thousands of people crowd. Yet Donald Trump goes on his Truth Social. Normally, I don't read the entire tweet, I'll call it, whatever you call it on social, Truth Social. But I'm going to read it for you. Here's what Trump said. Quote, has anyone noticed that Kamala cheated at the airport? He's talking about the one in Detroit. There was nobody at the plane. And she AI'd, in other words, artificial intelligence, it, and showed a massive quote-unquote crowd of so-called followers. But they didn't exist. She was turned in by a maintenance worker at the airport when he noticed the fake crowd picture. But there was nobody there. Later confirmed by the reflection of the mirror-like finish on the vice presidential plane. She is a cheater. She has nobody waiting. And the quote-unquote crowd looked like 10,000 people. Same thing is happening with her fake quote-unquote crowds at her speeches. This is the way the Democrats win elections. By cheating. And they're even worse at the ballot box. She should be disqualified because the creation of fake image is quote, election interference. Anyone who does this will cheat at anything. Unquote. That is what Donald Trump put out on Truth Social yesterday. David Plouffe, longtime Obama campaign flack. In politics, that's actually a good word. It means you work for somebody. He's a political strategist, helped Obama get elected. He is now working on the Harris campaign. David Plouffe says of the tweet I just read you from Trump, quote, these are not conspiratorial rantings from the deepest recesses of the internet. The author could have the nuclear codes and be responsible for decisions that will affect us all for decades, unquote. What this is coming from is somebody on the internet photoshopped, essentially, pictures of the actual photos and crowds in Detroit. 20,000 or so folks there at an airport hangar. And this is why it's getting under Trump's skin. Because when he was president, he would pull up to these events in Air Force One. Before that, in 2016, he'd do it with his Trump plane that says Trump on the side. And he pull up to these airport hangars and have the plane as a prop in the background with thousands of people. Harris's people are now doing the exact same thing, pulling up with Air Force Two in Detroit, 20,000 people in a huge airport hangar. It happened. It was carried live on some cable networks. There are, you know, tens of reporters that were there, people. And so what happened was some goofball on the internet zoomed in on people's phones because they were taking pictures of the vice president and Governor Walz as they were getting off of Air Force Two. And they photoshopped their screens so it looked like the plane wasn't there. And then they zoomed in on the shiny, it looks like stainless steel, but, you know, it's a shiny side, the engine of Air Force Two. And they photoshopped that and said, look, you can't see a crowd in the reflection. And made all this up on the internet. Complete lie. Complete fabrication. And now Donald Trump, the Republican nominee for President of the United States, is repeating and amplifying a well-known, proven lie simply because he can't get the same crowds as Kamala Harris anymore. He went to Bozeman, Montana. Had to go to Montana because Senator Tester up there, the Democratic incumbent, in a tough race against a guy that they brought in from another state, kind of like OC Eric Hovde bringing him into Wisconsin to run for Senate. There were all kinds of empty seats at a smaller venue in Montana for Trump. He can't draw the crowds. His old song and dance is gotten stale because all he does is whine and complain and be negative. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are on the campaign of joyful warriors, talking about the future, talking about what's going on in this country, what will go on, the fact that we're not going back. It's a message of positivity. Donald Trump is not well. As Pluff says, this is not some goofball the internet. This is the guy who wants to be president again. Have the nuclear codes again. Not well at all. Gonna come back, talk about this, gonna play this some cuts as well. But before we do, this is a great indication where things are at. At the one Trump, remember, Harris had, what, 6-7 rallies this week across the country? Trump had one in Montana. And so if you were in Eau Claire this week or other places, before the candidates take the stage, they play a lot of music, get the crowd hyped up, all right? And what may be telling, the Trump campaign in Montana played music from the Titanic. The motion picture, the sinking of the Titanic.
Yes, that song.
I'm not making it up. Celine Dion, who wrote that song, performed it for the movie, she countered it. She put out her own tweet, her own message from her attorney. Said, quote, "Today, Celine Dion's management team and her record label, Sony Music Entertainment Canada Inc., became aware of the unauthorized usage of the video recording, musical performance, and likeness of Celine Dion singing 'My Heart Will Go On' at the Trump J.D. Vance campaign rally in Montana. In no way is this use authorized, and Celine Dion does not endorse this or any similar use. And really, that song?" Unquote. That's what Celine, this is the actual clip of what they played for their supporters in Montana. Literally a sinking ship. We'll be back with more. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go on, me far wherever you are. I believe that my heart goes. Go on. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, August 12th, 2024. Glad to have you along. Mr. Matt Flynn coming up after the bottom of the hour break. He's always fantastic. Not going to want to miss it. Matt Flynn coming up after 12:30. Right now off the Facebook line, our ongoing contributor and friend Jeff Perry says the Titanic song, Trump does think he's king of the world. Well, that's good. You're right. He does. He does think he's king of the world.
Although if he's standing up on the bow of the ship with his arms spread out, I don't think Melania will be anywhere to be seen.
No, not at all. Not at all. Talking about what's happened over the weekend politically, Harris Walls continue to draw thousands of people in record crowds. Reporters who have covered presidential campaigns for years are saying, from the campaign trail, based on their experience, they have not seen rallies of this size since Barack Obama in 2008 and some of the Trump rallies of 2016. This is unlike what Biden got, unlike what Hillary got, unlike what Trump is getting now. Huge crowds for Kamala Harris and Trump only doing one event in Bozeman, Montana, and all kinds of empty seats. Cannot draw a crowd. Kamala Harris, the joyful warrior, and Tim Walz. Going to play you a couple of these cuts. I want you to hear it in real time. I want you to hear it with your own ears, what Trump is saying on the campaign trail. again, I'm not trying to be funny. There's something wrong with Trump. He cannot let the past go. He thinks he's still running against Joe Biden. And he made a prediction in Montana over the weekend that Kamala Harris is not going to be the nominee. I'm not making this up. Here's Trump in Bozeman over the weekend.
I hear he's going to make a comeback at the Democrat convention. He's going to walk into the room and he's going to say, I want my presidency back. I want another chance to debate Trump. I want another chance.
He really believes that Joe Biden is still going to be the nominee. He can't wrap his head around the fact that Joe Biden has character and morals and put country before himself. He wants to run against Biden so bad. I want to juxtapose, Mr. Zomers, the two rallies, or well, Harris and Walls had several, but I want to play you a cut from Trump going after Harris and Walls first. We're going to do that one first, Mr. Zomers. And then we're going to jump down to, the next one, which is the USA chant. So these are a tale of two rallies. First, this is what Trump, this is his message. This is why, he thinks this is going to get people to vote for he and J.D. Vance. Here is Trump going after Harris and Walls.
And we picked somebody that was very special, and he's really stepped up. I said, you got your sea legs, you know, because the first day they were hitting him with
talking
a lot
about
of
Vance.
Nonsense. And he's got his sea legs now. He's going to be great. I think we like, don't we like him? And he's for the working man and woman. Tim Walz is the man who's very freakish. He's very freakish.
Really?
If Comrade Walz and Comrade Harris win this November, the people cheering will be the pink-haired Marxists, the looters, the perverts, the flag burners, Hamas supporters, drug dealers, gun grabbers, and human traffickers.
That was the mood at the Trump rally in Montana. Meanwhile, almost simultaneously, in Arizona, this is what the crowd was saying at the Harris Walls rally. That was Tim Walz clapping, the loudest clapper, and the crowd chanting, USA, USA, USA.
For a second, he joins in and does a big fist pump like, yeah!
For someone who spent a lot of time, or over 30 years in politics, I left the Republican Party in 2011. I can tell you that the mood, the energy, the excitement is completely on the Democratic side right now. People want to vote for something. They're so happy that it's no longer just two quote-unquote old white guys on the ballot. Voters finally have an option. That's why many Republicans are coming over to the Harris side. Mr. Zomers, I want to go ahead to the clip of the Republican mayor there of Mesa, Arizona. If we could go to that one, please. I think it was number 10 that I sent you. So let me know when you have that one. Because I want to put this in context. The fact that it's not just Democrats who are now supporting Kamala Harris. This is the mayor, Mayor Giles of Mesa, Arizona, a Republican appearing with Harris Walls in Arizona over the weekend.
He's taking the stage here.
Thank you. Thank you. I am the very proud mayor of Mesa, Arizona, but thank you. Thank you. But I have to say, I feel maybe a little out of place today. Partly because we're in beautiful Glendale. Okay, there's that. But as you may know, I'm a lifelong Republican. All right? Now, I have thank you for your warm response. I have to tell you that I do not recognize my party. It has been The Republican Party has been taken over by extremists that are committed to forcing people in the center of the political spectrum out of the party. So I have something to say to those of us who are in the political middle. You don't owe a damn thing to that political party. In particular, you do not owe anything to a party that is out of touch and is hell-bent on taking our country backward. And by all means, you owe no displaced loyalty to a candidate that is morally and ethically bankrupt. So again, to all of us, I would say, in the spirit of the great Senator John McCain, please. Please, please join me in putting country over party and stopping. And stopping Donald Trump and protecting the rule of law, protecting our Constitution, and protecting the democracy of this great country. That is why I'm standing with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz.
There you go. Republican Mayor Giles of Mesa, Arizona. That's what Republicans are saying. The Harris-Walz campaign is growing the tent. Meanwhile, people are leaving Trump. Who is joining us? Matt Flynn on the other side. Your phone calls as well. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Well, you see, welcome back to the Todd Allball really Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, August 12th, 2024. Glad to have you along. Zommer is back on the board after a couple of well-deserved days off fishing. We'll talk about some fishing stories in hour number two, play some more clips over the weekend as well for you. Always good to hear it in people's actual voice and people's actual words. But right now we invite back onto the show, and always so very thankful for the graciousness of his time, our friend, ongoing contributor, two-time chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an attorney and an author. His latest to work in my hot little hands right here, I'm partway through it. It is called Hunting Bernie Weber. It is a great read. There's some humor in it. It is based in Milwaukee. You're not going to want to miss it if you're a fan of Matt Flynn, his longtime radio show, or his writing. It is called Hunting Bernie Weber. We welcome on Mr. Flynn live from Milwaukee. Matt, always great to have you with us. Thank you so very much.
Good to be back with you, Todd, and with Mr. Zommers. A big fan of the Todd Allbo Show, and there's certainly a lot to talk about these days.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm not sure if you heard the first half hour here, but talking about, you know, this whole thing that Trump is, he got on his Truth Social, his social media network, and claimed that Harris is creating these crowds, these record crowds, with artificial intelligence. And it's gotten to the point where just now across the CBS, and this is true, CBS had to do a fact check and has found that Trump falsely claims Harris campaign used AI to fake crowds in Detroit. Matt, this is where we're at in American presidential politics, where an institution like CBS has to fact check whether the guy is nuts. And I said, agree or disagree, just think if Joe Biden had done something like this. I mean, they'd be calling for the 25th Amendment.
Right, exactly. Well, this guy, however, lies so continuously that people sort of expect it. But here's the deal, Todd. All the networks and a lot of independent cameras were on those rallies in Detroit, right, in Eau Claire, and everywhere else. They showed them from different angles. There were huge crowds. And he just spouts this stuff off. He says, oh, AI, I've heard about AI. People are worried about AI. Let me stick it on AI. He also said, by the way, that his crowd on January 6th, when he launched the insurrection, was bigger than Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Now, give me a break. I mean, right. You know, so what? They had AI back in 1963. Give me a break. No, the guy is pathetic. He's pathetic. His campaign is falling apart, and they will invoke Article 25 if he ever got in, but he's not getting in. This guy is, the wheels are coming off his campaign.
Give us your perspective. We want to get into these two constitutional amendments here coming up, very important on the ballot tomorrow, but I want to delve in just a couple more minutes on current events here. Give us your take, Matt Flynn, as a two-time chair of the Democratic Party. You know, we'll clean it up for radio, but you like to say, you know, you've seen some stuff. You've been around for a while. And in your take on politics, just the pure politics of this, the fact that I don't think Kamala Harris has had a bad day since she became the presumptive nominee. It's one of the most even-keeled, great starts I've ever seen in my 30 or so plus years in politics, compared with a campaign on the Trump side who just seems completely lost. Give us the lay of the land, Matt, based on your experience.
Yeah, and the way I look at it, I think you hit the nail on the head, and that is this. Occasionally a campaign, it's the zeitgeist, the time goes. Occasionally a campaign is basically an instrument that's being born, by a tsunami of desire for change. 1960 with John Kennedy, it was the same way, and all the media were for John Kennedy. With Barack Obama in 2008, it was the same. And that's what's happening now. And it's not so much Harris. I think she'll be a fine president and all that. But people have been worn down by Trump, by the 4 years that he was in, and then 4 years of lying and complaining about how it was stolen for him, that it's a relief in a way. And the youth are the first ones to respond. And so people from 18 to 30, basically, that age group, has just surged. That's communicated enthusiasm on up the line. And so what happens is people are relieved. We have somebody normal, somebody who's not a nut.
I mean, right?
The bar is low. She's not a nut. And Tim Walz is not a nut.
Right.
And Trump and Vance are nuts.
Right.
It really comes down to that. They're weird.
I heard.
And so,
yeah,
thank God, they say. No, go ahead.
Right. No, they are weird. And I'd credit the person on Twitter that I just don't remember, but somebody on Twitter said it over the weekend this way. I thought this was good. They said the Harris-Walz campaign feels like being able to leave an abusive relationship. And I thought, man, that's good. That's good.
That nails it, because people have been subjected to 8 years, 8 years of essentially lying and hatred and misstatements. Four when he was president, four afterwards when he's saying, that got stolen for me. Mm-hmm. And they're tired of it. Even Republicans are tired of it. Independents are tired of it. Democrats are definitely tired of it. And young people are tired of it.
Yeah.
And so suddenly you have two people who are normal. I mean, they're flat out normal.
Right.
And they'll do a good job. Yeah, right. That's right. That's a great quotation.
Well, we played that clip here before you came on. Republican Mayor Giles of Mesa, Arizona, proud Republican, showed up at the Harris-Walz event in Arizona and endorsed Kamala Harris and said, in the name of John McCain, we have to put country before party. I think that's astounding, Matt. And Zomers made a good point over the break. When they introduced this Republican mayor at the Harris-Walz event, there was clapping and cheering, no booing audibly. Can you imagine, and Zomers made this point, can you imagine if they had introduced a Democrat at a Trump rally?
Or it was Andrew in Maine who suggested it, but yeah.
Andrew in Maine, yeah. I mean, but real great point, Andrew.
Yeah, well, he would have had to have security to get to his car.
I mean, right,
that's what would have happened at a Trump rally. Mm-hmm. But I saw the interview with Giles, and it was on last night. Mm-hmm. And the guy is solid. He says, I'm a conservative Republican. This is a conservative Republican city. But country comes before party, and enough is enough. And I don't think it's going to hurt him electorally, Todd. I really don't. And I thought he had a lot of integrity, and you're right. If they put somebody up, the guy would have a hard time getting out unscathed. from the room if it was a Trump rally.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Zomers, for giving Andrew Main credit for that watching on YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch us each and every day. We're talking to Matt Flynn, two-time former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and a great author. We're going to get to these amendments in a minute, but if you'd like to talk to Matt, ask him a question, you're always welcome. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Bob, listening in Madison. Bob, thank you for calling on WMDX. What say you?
Well, I'm worried about the obviously the Republicans have bought into the big lie of the election that Biden stole the election. There's a flaw in this concept, though, a huge flaw, and that's this. How can Trump have had all this ballot stuffing or whatever without affecting the down ballot races? How come all of this fraud that Biden engaged in was not a cause? If it did not affect a single race for governor or senator or congressman or something, right, Everybody else is satisfied except Trump.
Great point, Bob. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, Bob, good to hear from you again. And you always were very logical when you call in, and you hit the nail on the head here. And people have made the point before, but any logical view of what Trump is saying would say, if they switch things from Democrat to Republican, they didn't cherry pick. They didn't just go, oh, we're not going to have Trump, but, you know, everybody else is going to be solid. That obviously didn't happen. But he just says these things, and I'm convinced, quite frankly, he says them, not expecting to be believed immediately, but if you put enough cloud of doubt and suspicion in everybody's minds about our democracy, they're less inclined to vote in the future. That's what I think is going on, but you're absolutely right. It's an excellent point.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you have a question for Matt Flynn, always glad to hear from you. Let's keep it here on WMDX in Madison, but go out to Middleton. Matt in Middleton has a question for Matt Flynn. Matt, go ahead.
Hello, guys. Hello, Mr. Flynn. My question is basically, I have a good feeling we're going to beat Trump this November. And my question is, what can we do as Americans about these Christian white nationalists, these people who feel like they're at war with us, they're in a civil war with us, all these white militia groups that came out to vote for Trump? What happens with all these people when we do defeat Trump? And are they still going to be a threat? And just your opinions on that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Matt. I'll tell you what, back on January 6th, you remember when the first time this happened and all of these people got violent and they injured a lot of police officers, I think that kind of sentiment hasn't dissipated, hasn't gone away. And remember also that Trump fed the issue of, well, we've got the FBI is crooked, and then people threatened FBI agents. They threatened their own police. So that sentiment stays on. That said, when Harris and Waltz win this November, and I think right now it looks very good that we take the House, and I think we have a very good shot at keeping the Senate. At some point, they're not going to have Trump anymore. He would be 82 if he ever got in this time at the end, and he'd be 86 if he ran again. He's obviously going away. I don't think they have anybody in their party. They may have the sentiments of Trump, but they don't have the sort of inverse wicked charisma of Trump. I do not see people like Cruz, Rubio. I don't see people like J.D. Vance having the ability to communicate that way. So I think it doesn't necessarily die. It may make other candidates more, quote, conservative, end quote, than they normally would have been. But I think that the violence ultimately...
752-4842. Let's go out to Los Angeles, California. Tom in L.A., about 2 minutes left, a little over in this segment. Go ahead quickly, please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Todd, and thank you, Matt. Good to hear from you, Matt. Just wanted to say that, Todd, I wanted to ask you, is there a way that we can actually, I hate to say this, but educate some of the maybe viewers or callers or whatever on the actual idea of democracy and the three branches of government, so everyone understands how important it is to get out for other local elections and, you know, like vote no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But basically, I think people, for some reason, and the media plays into this, makes it like the president is the only one to vote for. And I don't think they understand the three branches of government.
Right.
And I think it's really important that as a, you know, civic media or whatever, could actually go through why it is that, you know, Kamala Harris says, hey, I will sign this into law to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land. But she needs a Congress. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different things. They need Congress for it. And I really think that that needs to be stressed, even by the Harris and Walls team,
yeah,
that they need to stress the fact that Congress is what's also important. So you want to vote Democratic all the way down the ballot.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call, Tom, as always. Matt, just under 2 minutes left. You want to give us the 90-second primer?
Yeah. No. Listen, Tom, excellent point. And what you're borne out, the average turnout in presidential elections is 70-some-odd percent. But even in gubernatorial and Senate, it might be down around 55. And then if you're talking about a primary for municipal office, it could be 15%. So I want to echo what you just said loud and clear to everybody listening. And I'm sure that Todd and so forth going forward will mention this. It's important to vote in every election, even primaries. It's important to vote on referenda and changes to our Constitution, which Todd's going to get to in the next segment. We have two bad ones coming up on the ballot now. Because democracy is not a spectator sport. Democracy is a hands-on sport. And people will take it away from you if you're not careful. Always vote. Always be vigilant. And the truth of the matter is, don't just vote 75% president, 50 governor, and 15% in municipal primaries. Vote all of them. It's absolutely essential to retain our democracy.
Couldn't agree more. We're talking with Matt Flynn, two-time Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin, an attorney and a great author. His new book, here it is in my hot little hands, Hunting Bernie Weber. Get it wherever books are sold. A great little mystery. Great. There's some humor in it. It's based in Milwaukee. We'll maybe get to that in a little bit. But stay tuned. More with Matt on the other side. It's always a pleasure. And yes, as Matt says, get out and vote on tomorrow, on Tuesday. We'll discuss the amendments to Wisconsin's Constitution in Matt's words. Not going to want to miss it. Back after this.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio.
Welcome back to the Todd LaBall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. If you hear Johnny Cash on this program, chances are our friend Matt Flynn is right around the corner. And here he is, back with us again live from Milwaukee, two-time Democratic Party chair in Wisconsin, a great attorney. He's seen it all, and author of his new book called Hunting Bernie Weber, a great book. Not going to want to miss it. Get it wherever books are sold. Matt, let's get into these two constitutional amendments. Polls open tomorrow morning and close at 7 o'clock and go until 8 p.m. Get out and vote. You can register at the polls in Wisconsin. Very important to note, no matter where people are at, everybody has a chance to vote tomorrow on these two constitutional amendments. As we said, former federal judge from Tennessee, Judge Weissman, who likes to say, put it down there where the chickens can get at it. All right? Thank you, Matt Flynn.
Well, we're going to get down to where the chickens can get at it. There are a couple of warning signals on these ballot initiatives. And let me tell you something, and keep this in mind, and then we're going to talk about them individually. First of all, anytime anybody puts a constitutional amendment on the ballot in an August primary, they're doing it to keep down the number of people who can vote on it. If they were sincere, they'd put it on the November ballot. Number one. Number two, this was rammed through by the Republican gerrymandered legislature with no Democratic votes. Number three,
Why did they do that as a constitutional amendment instead of just passing legislation? Because Governor Evers can veto legislation, and that would require two-thirds to override his veto, which they don't have. However, he can't veto a constitutional amendment. That's what they've done it very sneakily. The August primary, everybody's on vacation, they're at barbecues, they don't bother to show up. The turnout's very low, number one. Number two, when by doing it this way, there'll be very, very, very few people looking at this, and they won't realize what's going on. Now, here's exactly what it is. When we got COVID relief, when we got infusions of money, Governor Evers, as governor, which is what the provision was from the federal government, got to allocate it. He's an honest man, and he allocated it right. And he gave it rural, urban. He gave it equally around the country. I should say around the state. And it was very, very helpful and necessary as we recovered from COVID. Now, if and when that happens again, and God forbid there'll be a disaster, but you know there will be. Mm-hmm. You know there will be. Mm-hmm. When there's another disaster, what's going to happen is if you vote yes on this, what will happen is Evers won't have a chance to even touch it. It'll go to Voss, and the Republicans will put it. And what they'll do is they've already said they don't want to give a lot of it away. They don't want to put it in areas where Democrats vote, i.e. urban areas. And they did this with Hurricane Sandy. Federally, they would not vote federally for disaster relief for Hurricane Sandy because it hit New Jersey and New York, but they would for Texas and Louisiana. What happened was some moderate Republicans and Democrats got together, say we're a 50-state country, we have disaster stuff going elsewhere. This is an attempt by Voss to interfere with that. So the final thing I'll say, Todd, when you read it, you'll go, oh, it sounds really good. It sounds really good because they have professional PR people do it. And on Facebook, they're running ads that say things like, let lawmakers cooperate. That's a lot of baloney. Voss isn't going to cooperate with anyone. Do not vote for these initiatives. Do not vote for these initiatives. There's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
Well said, Matt. And you nailed it as you always do. This is purely for partisan political purposes. And Matt, agree or disagree, I think part of this is with the new fairer maps that were approved by the now one-seat liberal Wisconsin State Supreme Court, it's going to be tougher for Republicans to maintain majorities, at least in the assembly, hopefully make things a bit more or less partisan, I should say, extreme. Maybe that's a better word to say it. And also for Republicans, it's harder and harder for them to win statewide elections. So as long as Democrats keep putting up, in my opinion, center-left candidates like Tony Evers, it's going to get harder and harder. Look what's happening with Tammy Baldwin right now. She's 7 points ahead. So agree or disagree, Matt, that this is to try to maintain some control with Republican legislatures because privately they're fearful they can't win another statewide election, Republicans, in the near future.
That's exactly right, Todd, and I'll throw in one other little hook on this. When Evers went ahead and supported the deal that the Supreme Court then rubber-stamped, there are many of us who think that that was premature of him to do it because this legislature is still going to be slightly gerrymandered. It's just not going to be as gerrymandered as before.
Correct.
We need absolutely fair maps, and these are a lot fairer than they were before, but they still have a slight Republican advantage, so we are going to be very hard-pressed to take either house of the legislature, but they certainly won't have a two-thirds majority. And you were right on the money in your other observation that they are not going to win another statewide office. If they could, I mean, Michaels could have been a stronger candidate, and he comes out at the end and he goes, no Republican will ever lose in this state again if I'm elected. What is this? Is this Iran or something? You know, what is this, Venezuela? What the hell is this? But they got to come up with some guys that are a little center-right, okay? Not nuts.
855-752-4842. Let's go quickly. Tom in West Dallas. Tom, what you got?
Hi, I'll make this quick. Only thing that's really concerning me about the whole yes-no vote is that on, like, my Facebook feeds, for every one vote no, I see at least three or four ads that say vote yes. And all of those have many, many likes, whereas vote no has fewer likes and a lot of laughing faces. So I'm nervous about this vote. I think once again, the Democrats are falling flat on getting this word out. I mean, you guys are doing a great job, but you guys only reach so much and others don't. And that's always been a problem with the Democratic Party. The messaging is horrible.
Now, Matt, what say you?
Yeah, right. And Tom, that's exactly right. And frankly, a lot of the effort in the Democratic Party came kind of late in the game. It could have been earlier. And they're not saying a lot of the things that Todd and I are saying, like, why an August primary so nobody votes? Mm-hmm. Why is this something that only the Republicans support? Why do they want to get their hands on the money? The Republican Party, and I'm not talking about traditionally 50 years ago, I'm talking about now, can't be trusted with money because Matt, it'll disappear.
Can it disappear
into their donors, or it won't get spent the right way.
Can you come back for a couple of minutes, an hour or two?
Sure.
All right, Matt, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Don't hang up. Matt will take your calls after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Matt Flynn in hour two.